Om Shanti. Good morning. Just a summary of the song. Continue to give Shiv Baba's message and continue to create fortune as you go along. Your own fortune and the fortune of others. And it's very much connected with today's Murli, in which Baba is talking about what are the qualifications of the right hands of Baba and how to be that. It's connected with yesterday's Murli to a certain extent. All Murlis are connected anyway. But there's a whole list of questions that have been given related to yesterday's Murli in particular. So, holiday, Monday, is a good opportunity. And I was just reflecting that one of the main things that Baba was talking about was being the one who's the instrument, not just to do, but to do through the body. And so to remember that I am this inner being of light, and it's not my hands and my feet that are doing the work. It's I, the soul, that is the master in charge. And I'm giving the orders, but it's the body that's doing the work. The title, Karan Karavanhar, the one who does and does through others or inspires others to do, is usually given to God. But by now you know that every single title that God has, God gives to His children, and He expects the children to be able to do the same. And so Karan Karavanhar is also God's title, but Baba's giving it to us. But in everything there are different steps to achieve a certain stage. And so the first step, to what extent am I able to maintain the awareness of this point of light? And it slips away so quickly, and I have to keep reminding myself. Even just recently, Baba spoke about how we still haven't got to the stage of making soul consciousness my natural nature. We are still a little far away from that, or a little bit close to that. But definitely, that stage of the golden age where I don't have the consciousness of the body in the way that it becomes my identity, but I have the awareness that I, the soul, am using this instrument, this body. Even though we don't remember God, we don't know God, we don't need to know God. But that awareness today of just being able to be stable in this awareness and see each one with that awareness that they too are a shining star. And when you are practicing this, even if it's for a few moments, then you feel the difference. It makes you immediately connect with each one in a different way. The past isn't a bondage or a barrier. You're able to just feel the vibrations of the person now and respond in an appropriate way. And it's the way in which let the past be the past, because now I'm focused on what my vibrations are at this moment. So first step, just the practice of soul consciousness, which everybody would say is easy, and it is easy, but it's just a bit slippery. And so to keep pulling my mind back to that awareness again and again. And the second, through that awareness of being the soul, then the practice of being detached and the observer. Detached from this, when I'm in this, that's fine, stay here. that when I'm quiet and I'm not engaged in action, can I just feel I'm here and I can watch this? This is my costume, but I'm separate. And so even to practice this a little bit at a time, a little bit, little, and the little, little grows and it becomes better and better. And then not just the observer of this, in that stage of detachment, I can be the observer of this. I can watch my thoughts, I can make sure that my responses are appropriate and truly in charge of whatever is happening through the physical organs. They don't run away, but you know, you have that image of the horses and the soul, the master, holding the reins, and so all the horses, the senses, are under control. Most of you would have seen that picture somewhere. But today, one organ or another runs off, and then you have to pull it back. But if I'm totally in charge, and I'm aware of being in charge, then they don't run off. And so being the observer, what Baba did in his diary that Baba mentioned yesterday, Baba having a court every evening to see which are the physical senses that stayed under control and which are the ones that were running off. And then maybe it didn't get to the point of action, but it created some sort of reaction inside. And then even more subtle, the master of the faculties of the soul, my sanskaras. Am I ever in the position where I say that my sanskaras are like this? And so, is that an excuse? Baba says it's not. You can't give that as an excuse, because these are Ravan's sanskaras. And so if you just say my sanskaras and you're owning Ravan's sanskaras, then what's going to be your condition? Ravan is controlling you, you not controlling anything. And so I can't say my sanskaras, because my original sanskaras are different. So that observer stage, if through the day I'm observant of what's going on inside as well as outside, then the detached observer can come to the stage of being Karan Karavanhar. Then I can see clearly who is doing and what am I doing. I have to give the orders, and the senses internally and externally have to obey. And why are they not obedient? Because I'm not sitting on my throne. And so to think of not just this pinpoint of light, but the pinpoint of light actually seated on this throne. Yesterday I was talking to somebody and they were fairly new and they'd heard the Murali yesterday morning, they were here. And I said, well, how come we never put the tikka here, or here, or even here? We put the tikka here. And so this is the throne. Can I feel it? And of course, when you practice this, then you can feel that subtle source of energy that's there within. And so, Karanhar, if I just get involved in action, 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 then at that moment to be detached, it's difficult because the train's already left the station. But if I've been practicing when I'm not so busy, or when I'm busy doing external things, when you're peeling a banana or you're peeling anything, a potato, how much focus do you need to put on the banana or the potato? Your eyes are going to do the work, your hands are going to do the work. Meanwhile, you're looking at yourself. I, the soul, using my hands to do this. if I practice, and really the key thing is practice, and the second, practice, and the third, practice. And really that's what it is, practice and practice and practice, and that's what we see the Dadis were doing. When they had those moments of quiet between one person leaving and another one coming in, there was that tiny little bit. They weren't looking at a phone. They weren't picking up something to read. They were just quiet. They were preparing themselves for the next. But also they would have been just reflecting on what's just happened. And so practice, practice, practice. And then yes, you can get to the stage of when it's even something a bit more complicated than just peeling vegetables. I, the soul in charge, and my hands and even my brain. My brain is an organ, it's not me. And I think we don't practice that enough. When there's overthinking, I forget. The brain is an organ. I can keep it quiet when I need to. When my brain gets involved in complex work, which is important, that's fine. I'm the observer. I do the work. I get engaged in it. But as soon as it's done, I can step back and very quickly come to that stage of being the observer again. And so the more I practice soul consciousness, the observer stage, the stage of mastery, then yes, I can come to the stage of Karan Karavanhar. The organs are going to do what I ask them to, not just externally, but internally in here also. And so it's going to be easy to allow the original Satoguni sanskars, the pure sanskars, to emerge instead of all the battles with the middle sanskars or the lower sanskars. And so Karan Karavanhar is possible, but only by being practicing the other stages before that. And the benefit of all of this, of course, self-sovereignty, but also immediately at this moment, there's the stage that's being described as Nyara and Pyara, detached and loving. But also there's the stage that's described for the yogi as the one who's stable in fame and defamation. Now, to be stable in fame is as important as stable in defamation. Usually we just think about the defamation, but to be stable in both. And so defamation, and I'm sensitive, I become upset if I'm not appreciated, if somebody says something that maybe they mean it in a very good way to help me learn, but I interpret it as criticism. And maybe it is criticism also, because everybody is in the process of cleaning their heart and soul, and so maybe it is criticism. But maybe the criticism is also something that I can learn from, because there's always something that creates the smoke. And so, am I able to listen and learn, or am I just upset because they've said something, or because they've made a note of something? And so where my happiness then becomes dependent on the responses of others, it's dangerous. I'm never going to be my own master if I'm sensitive. So English sensitive has those two meanings, in which it can be very pure, very positive. I'm aware, so I'm sensitive about the feelings of others. but where I'm just aware of my own feelings rather than the feelings of others, then that sensitivity is not very helpful. If you're living with three people, four people, five people, it's a little bit easier. If you're living with 40 people, 100 people, it's more difficult. And so anybody who's sensitive doesn't enjoy Sangam Yoga. Sangam Yoga becomes a problem. Sangam Yoga is challenging, it's difficult, and every situation becomes difficult. But to be able to just enjoy, really, this time when we have God, when we have the godly family, when we have more than we'll ever have in Satyuga even, to be able to enjoy Sangam Yoga is a sign of a yogi. I remember somebody telling me, if you see the pictures of the Buddha, then you see either the Buddha in silence or you see the Buddha laughing. And so both aspects are aspects of meditation. And with Dadi, we would, yes, see her in silence, even when she had a few moments, or even when she was in a gathering, somebody asked a question, and you could see her go deep inside, even for a moment, and then give a response. But also, the last few times she was in London, or even when she was in Madhuban, and she'd conduct the meditation 7 to 7.30 in the evening, and then afterwards, her talks were shorter and shorter and shorter. Very different to the days here, when her talks would be minimum 45 minutes. Who remembers those days? And then she'd see that people were getting a little bit tired, or it was other things pulling them, and she'd stop. But 45 minutes, the fountain was flowing, you know, nothing could stop it. But from that time to the last times when she came, and also in Madhuban, she'd say, play the music, we're going to dance. And so that sense of joy, the joy of Sangam Yoga. And even before, when she wasn't physically dancing, she was still just constantly smiling, constantly happy. Whether in pain, even the body was in pain, but when she gave drishti, she'd be beyond and carry others beyond. So that state in which I don't allow anyone or anything to cause me sorrow. Because whatever they say is their karma, my reaction is my karma. Baba would say to me at the end, but this is what you did. Not I did this because that one did that. What did I do? And so the defamation in that stage of Karan Karavanhar, strong, stable, unshakable, definitely no sensitivity of what's being said in that way. And the other, when there's praise, definitely ego comes in, but also a dependency on that. It's very easy to get accustomed to praise. You never get accustomed to defamation. But praise, you get accustomed to it and you expect it. And when it's not forthcoming, then you lose interest in that person. And it shows in your lack of respect for them, or your lack of communication with them, or a little bit less love, or a little bit less attention. So to be able to get to that stage of stable in defamation and fame, again, it's a sign of a yogi. I remember a scene with Brahma Baba. After Murli, we'd go into Baba's room following the Dadis. I don't think I ever went into Baba's room alone, but I'd be with the Dadis and they'd say, come. And so Didi Manmohini in particular, She would go into Baba's room every day. Dadi Janki sometimes, not every day, but following Devi Manmohini, going to Baba's room. And Baba would sit on the bed. There was only two chairs with a little table, which was the dining table for Baba and Devi Manmohini. And so Baba would sit on the bed and would just be dangling his legs and sit like this. And Devi Manmohini would say, "Baba, that was a beautiful murli." And he'd look at her like surprised and he'd say, "Really? Okay, he must have spoken very well." So he never took it on himself that I had spoken a good murli. He had come, he had spoken a good murli. And equally, if there was a sticky question that Didi would ask sometimes, because her relationship with Baba was friendship, where she would tease him and he would smile and she would ask him. And so this is how she taught Daddy to also develop that relationship with Baba as a friend rather than just on a pedestal, the Supreme, the Father. And so she'd say, "Why did Baba say this?" And again he'd say, totally detached, "Did Baba say that? Okay. When he comes again, ask him." And so really not accepting any praise or any question or any defamation, most certainly. So defamation, people from government coming and saying, at one point Baba had said that there was a border and there was a big battle, India, China, about the border. And Baba, absolutely up here, very spiritual. And so Baba saying, "But it's just a tiny piece of land. India can just give it and save themselves a lot of violence and maybe even people dying." The word got to Delhi and murlis were being sent everywhere anyway, even though it didn't go viral, but murlis were being sent. It got to the government, and the government sent a couple of people to find out who is this person who's saying we should just give away our land. And they came, and Baba was told that this is why they had come. And so Baba just gave them drishti and then started telling them, "Children, children," Baba was already in his 70s or 80s by then, so they would have been in their 30s or 40s, so it was fine for Baba to call them child, child. And so they melted, but Baba just calling them children and giving them sweet drishti. And so, "Baba, can we please tell you something?" And then they told Baba about the challenge of handing over land. And Baba said, "I didn't say that. Did you know that he comes and he speaks the murli? Okay, I'll tell him not to." So, criticism. Now, anybody else, maybe if there's a government official coming to check you out, I get a little bit scared. What are they going to do? What are they going to say? But for Baba, they were his children. And they were looking at things from one perspective, and Baba had to remind them that there's a higher perspective. So to be able to be stable in fame and defamation, so that I don't get ego, I always ask myself the question, could I have done it? And the answer comes back, definitely no. So it's who did it? It's Baba who did it. And also, not just Baba who did it, but also the family. The whole family together did something. It couldn't have happened otherwise. And so, if I expect praise, it's a problem. If it doesn't come, it's a problem. And again, I'm handing over my awareness of peace and joy into the hands of others. But I need to be able to be stable so that I'm in charge of what's going on inside myself. And of course, the more I practice this, the more Baba's going to use me, and the more doors of service will open, and all the magic we want to see will happen. That's a couple of the questions. Very quickly about the others. When we have certain habits or reactions, then what's the practical method? To be able to know myself so well that I know what are the things that destabilize me, and to be able to see before it happens that this is likely to happen. Whether it's a situation and I see that maybe people are late. Now I know that that's going to cause me irritation. So can I mentally prepare myself so that it's okay. I can't change them, but I can change my response. And you can usually predict if somebody's late most times today, they're also going to be a little bit late, and so stabilize. So to know myself and know what are the triggers, and then the timetable for the mind. I know that today is going to be very busy, and so can I already prepare my mind so that I'm not flustered when that's going to happen. And so I remind myself, drama is accurate, step at a time, it's going to be okay. So I have to remind myself in the morning, it's going to be a difficult meeting. Can I have extra love from Baba so that I'm able to be loving and humble during a difficult meeting? So you know more or less what's going to be facing you through the day, and you know, or you should know by now, and if you don't, just keep going inside and checking what are your reactions, and you'll be able to maintain greater stability. Ever ready. What helps us overcome inner laziness and postponing things, and the urgency of time? Whatever it used to be before is what it was. But today, I'm actually witnessing the breakdown. I'm seeing the breakdown of the economy, and there are a few people who are experts in the economy sitting in this room. Talk to them and you'll be shocked. They know the facts and figures, and they know that we're headed to economic collapse. It's a reality. We are seeing the environment and the destruction of the environment. I'm always still surprised. Yes, when was it? I went to Oxford on Friday. And that space in the middle of Chiswick, that roundabout, very big roundabout where you have, you know, the tube station on one corner and many roads going. We started to see construction happening there, and now the construction is complete. I think 3-4 years it's been going on. And I always thought to myself, how are people going to live in the middle of traffic swirling around where there's no more space? They're using every single space. And so the population, the environment, we're destroying every little bit of green there is. So that's the signal. Where are we going? We're headed to total collapse. The war and the impact on everybody's lives. What's going on? So we're this close to the edge. If I don't change now, that's then forever and ever and ever. Okay. I think I've covered most things.